It's the Hoffman Show, final hour here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6:30, Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune gives us some insight onto the game. He's also the host of the Take the North podcast, which is our Odyssey Sports podcast up in Chicago. Does a great job with that. You'll hear some of our conversation coming up at 6:30. Right now, though, it is 6 o'clock on Friday, and the Commanders, good gracious, the Commanders are playing. What, Anthony? Don't look at me like that.
Oh, my gosh. The Commander. Ron Rivera is not our head coach anymore, Craig.
I know he is not.
He has been gone for 10 months.
It is Friday. It is 6 o'clock. I have done 3,472 hours of talking this week.
Okay.
My mouth is – I need a little water.
There you go. There you go.
Commanders. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Peter Piper picked a pike of people. There's a game with a burgundy and gold team. Just hit the button, Anthony.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, on Fridays, here's what we do. Instead of the biggest storylines, we kind of try to predict the biggest storylines. Which players do we think are going to be the most impactful in the game on Sunday? Quarterbacks are ineligible. We can pick players from either team. And I've already told you that I'm going to start with the first overall pick with...
Number one.
Brian Robinson. I did think about in the break getting a little cutesy and picking Austin Eckler, but there is nothing like the down-in, down-out domination of a smash-mouth running back who's just going to keep you on schedule. And that is whether Jaden Daniels plays or especially if Marcus Mariota plays. Because Jaden has shown a propensity on the rare times that the Commanders' offense has been behind the chains this year to be able to get them out of it. And sometimes it's with his legs. Sometimes it is with his arm. Sometimes it's just a little bit of both, like a little step over a defender who's rushing and let's go find a guy in the flat or down the field or... It's 3rd and 13. Let me throw a ball 60 yards in the air to Terry McLaurin down at the 5-yard line. Like, he's done it all. If it's Marcus Mariota, you got to make sure that you are on schedule. Keep the playbook open. Keep the defense honest. Keep them out of some more exotic blitz looks. And I think that it's going to be essential that Brian Robinson has a big day. I also think he can have a big day. Chuba Hubbard, big day. A lot of other backs. Bless me, Anthony.
I was looking sneeze. Right. I looked left. I said, hold. Yeah. Bless you, Craig.
Knock my camera focus out. Can't be having that. Anyway, Brian Robinson should be able to run a lot. He's number one. I sneezed in the middle of it. No Achu matter. Brian Robinson, number one.
Yeah, I think that was the obvious one, Greg.
Number two.
I think this was sort of kind of obvious as well. And if you guys know, with our pick six, we don't only have to pick player from our team. We also can pick players from the opposing team. And the guy I have circled is that boy, DJ Moore. I think last year, the game...
He just caught another pass on Ron Rivera's defense, actually.
Oh, you saw that too? I did too.
Yeah. Jack Del Rio just got fired again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this guy, he went for 8 catches, 230 yards, 3 TDs on just 10 targets. So we know how explosive, how dynamic he can be against our cornerbacks. And it didn't matter who was checking him. BSJ, Emmanuel Forbes, Kendall, it did not matter if it was man, zone. We cannot let this guy be too explosive and kill us the way he did last year. And it also sucks that we're wearing the same exact jerseys against the team we wore those jerseys against last year. We did.
Yes. I think that is correct. I think that DJ Moore is a fantastic pick because he and, frankly, Keenan Allen are guys that I think can really hurt Washington. Both guys are great. You know, good. Or Allen's case, a great route runner.
Mm-hmm.
Moore just is the physical kind of specimen that sometimes has given this defense a lot of problems. That's the thing that scares me the most. Like, more than Chicago's defense against Washington's offense, I'm scared of Chicago's playmakers. And especially because I think the best thing to do with the quarterback is to give him some chances. Like, I think the best thing you could do with Caleb is kind of make him beat you, especially deep. He has been really good, really efficient. Like, his heat map chart, Belichick did a whole thing on this on Inside the NFL the other night, and you look at the next-gen stats and the completion chart, like, there ain't a lot of green dots down the field, man. And so, yeah, he has layered a couple balls deep, but I think he's 5 of 27 on balls this year past 20 yards in the air. So, do you want to risk that if BSJ's out there on DJ Moore? Like, I don't know. Mike Sander's still on a guy like Keenan Allen who's 6'3". Like, that scares me. So I don't know how Joe's going to play this. I think it's really interesting, and I think DJ Moore, obviously, as a guy who is not having as good of a year. His route tree this year compared to – dude, I remember seeing – like, if you look at his route tree last year on paper, it looked like you gave, like, you gave a monkey like some kind of drug to make him really hyper. Pick your drug of choice if you have knowledge of those things, and an Etch-a-Sketch. And this year it looks like you gave a 4-year-old some Quaaludes and an Etch-a-Sketch. Very different route trees.
Yeah,
that's the worst analogy I've ever made on this show.
Yeah, I'm trying to put two and two together, and I think I know where you're getting at. But
a lot of squiggly lines on one, not a lot of squiggly lines on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very simplified, a lot easier. And that is the one thing that I think gives me hope for both sides of the ball. The Chicago coordinators are kind of predictable. Now, they've been very good at some of the stuff they're predictable at, and execution's the name of the game. But I do think that it makes game planning a little bit easier. Okay, I'm also going to pick a Chicago Bear number three.
Number three.
In fact, can I pick two, Anthony?
Sure.
Okay, I don't think they're going to be on your list. I'm going to pick Josh Blackwell. Do you know who Josh Blackwell is?
He is the Bears' starting left tackle.
No, that is incorrect. Do you know who Elijah Hicks is?
He's the Bears' starting left tackle.
That is incorrect, Anthony.
Guard.
That is the two gentlemen who will start at nickel and safety instead of Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker this weekend. I think it is a good day for the Commanders if you know their names by the end of it. They're the dudes that Tony Romo's circling going, this guy just got knocked out the club because Ben Sinnott came around on a block and carried him off the sideline. Sam Cosby's pulling around and getting to these guys. Like, Nick Allegretti smushed one of them in the hole. If you know their names because they're missing a bunch of tackles in the run game, my number one guy, Brian Robinson Jr., is having a really good day. They don't blitz a lot. Gordon's the guy they blitz with. So how is Josh Blackwell as a blitzer? They rely on their safeties in the run game. Brisker's great at it. How's Elijah Hicks? They have, you know, these two guys are apparently solid players. I was texting with one of my buddies up in Chicago. Like, they've got some depth, but they're not nearly the run players that Gordon, who is one of the best in the league as a nickel against the run, and Brisker, who's one of the best safeties in the league, period, are. The Chicago Bears defense has been super stout. Those two dudes are an enormous part of it. And so knowing that you still have Jalen Johnson on the outside and a lot of really good players on the field for that Chicago defense, can you exploit the ones that aren't? Whether it's getting Terry inside and getting a couple matchups against Blackwell and hitting some stuff there, whether it's a guy like Luke getting more involved, OZ getting more involved, there's a lot of ways you can do it. But I think specifically in the run game, can you run towards the side where those dudes are and take advantage of some backups on the field? So Josh Blackwell and Elijah Hicks. Didn't think that's where we were going to go.
No.
But those are two key names that I'm watching for, and those are together number three in our pick six. That means I've got one more. Anthony's got two to round it out coming up next. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. We'll close out the hour with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and amidst our pick six at six, where we are giving you the six players, or in this case seven, because I cheated and picked two for my number three pick. We're picking up the six players that we think will have the biggest impact in the game on Sunday. Anthony, you are up with number four. Who you got?
Number four.
Number four, Craig. So the Bears have this guy on their team that used to be a former Washington player. He goes by the name Montez Sweat.
That's where he went? I'm just kidding, everybody. I was here. I know. How's he doing this year, Anthony?
He has 2.5 sacks on the season. But I think when players play their former teams, they tend to, you know, try to get off, you know, sort of kind of make them personal games. And I'd rather that not be the case. So my fourth guy, or our fourth guy, Andrew Wiley. I think he has a huge matchup. We've seen also Montez Sweat versus Wiley in camp. We see the problems Montez Sweat causes. So I think it's going to be on Wiley and, you know, Cliff to, you know, try to keep Montez Sweat in check. You know, maybe using the running backs to chip, maybe even having a tight end over there to, you know, help out, or simply having Sam Cosmi also, you know, bump over a couple of times to help. But I think keeping him in check is definitely going to be huge for whoever's at quarterback's success.
I definitely think that there will be a lot of help towards Montez Sweat. I mean, he has had a good season. He is, let's see, PFF-wise, in total, he's grading out a 67, so he's in the green this year. Pass rush grade, 66, that's in the green as well. Run defense, 62. Like, he's just solid across the board, which is it's actually his worst season since his rookie year, technically via PFF grade, but it's, you know, that's all relative. Pressure wise, he's got the 2.5 sacks. They've got him on PFF with 18 total hurries. Pressures total, the 3 sacks and then 15 hurries. Batted down a couple of balls as well. And he does mostly, to your point, line up in the same spot. It's worth noting that a couple weeks ago they did move him to the other side on a higher number of snaps than anybody or any other week so far. I don't know what the reason was. I was just kind of looking at his alignments real quick as you were talking. But he is mostly going to be on Wiley's side. And, you know, we saw those two battle in camp last year, and Wiley obviously had some trouble with Montez, but it's a very different situation in a game when you have to worry about the quarterback run, when you have to worry about, you know, chip help and all the things that Andrew Wiley didn't get last year because Eric Bieniemy just sent him on an island, and that was kind of the offense. I think Sweat's also really interesting when Wiley's not blocking him, specifically zone read, when no one's blocking him. He's one of the rare guys that is athletic enough to play the dive and the keep, and so his ability to single-handedly disrupt the run game in the zone read game could be huge. So do you just go to the other side, or do you trust that Marcus or Jaden is good enough with the ball to fake him out and get him to overcommit? So I think it's going to be an interesting week. They know, you know, obviously there's some guys over here that know him. Wiley practiced against him a lot, so there's that experience. But I just don't think that the way that they've done things this year, they're going to leave him on an island a ton without something else going. Like, there's probably a snap or two that he'll get blocked by John Bates on the backside of a play action. But, like, it'll be because the quarterback is rolling the other way and then setting up a new pocket away from Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, just, hey, back, you know, back up and guard him and block him. Like, get your pass set. Let's go, buddies. No, if that's happening, things have gone wrong. It's bad down at distance, and there's other problems that you're going to have to deal with as well. Good choice. Andrew Wiley is the number number four for the pick six at six.
Number five.
Who do we want to go with here, Anthony? I think that I am going to go with Dorrance Armstrong, which could wind up being a silly thing that we don't talk about on Monday if he doesn't play. But he really has. Well, actually, I'll be safer. I'll go with Dante Fowler. But I think both guys obviously can have a huge impact if they play. But the thing with where I'm kind of getting at here is there is some opportunities to rush on the Chicago offensive line. They've invested quite a bit in it. It's pretty good. But I think you need to win some one-on-ones and get home and pressure Caleb Williams, because he is a guy that will freak out a little bit in the pocket. One, he'll start running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and if you can catch him, great. You get a big sack, you know, minus 18 kind of play. Two, he will, like, there's a couple throws that he makes, and some of them are his interceptions this year, where he gets a guy pushed in his lap, because he's not the biggest guy. He's not Jaden at 6'4", or one of these big, tall quarterbacks that just stands there and can see over the pocket. He's a little bit on the smaller side. He's, like, closer to 6'1", 6'. And so if he gets a guy pushed into his lap, he'll just kind of be like, ah, and kind of flick the ball. Now, the bad news is he's so wicked talented with arm strength that he can flick the ball places that it shouldn't be able to go, and it can get there on time on target. The good news is sometimes it doesn't go there, and he'll just flick the ball off into no man's land, and you can come down with the pick. So I think Fowler going against, Darnell Wright, their first round pick last year, like, mm-hmm. That's a matchup I like for Washington. Fowler is an experienced guy who's on a bit of a heater going against a young guy. Like, Wright's a good player. He's a great athlete, but he got a couple times in their last game that I saw. So I think whoever kind of lines up on that, like, I guess I could have just said Darnell Wright and gone kind of what you just did. But considering how well Fowler's playing, how well he understands offenses, as we saw last week, that jump inside that he did a bunch of times, I think Fowler could be a huge impact in this game. And obviously Armstrong as well, coming off the edge. And that's also a way I can avoid picking Frankie Louvu like I do every other week. That makes things slightly more interesting, but obviously he's in that mix as well.
I think one thing to like add and note with those guys, their motor. Caleb Williams is a guy that loves to extend the play. So, you know, their energy, their effort, I think is something that, you know, we shouldn't overlook just because of we're going to need it.
No, that's a great point. And by the way, Dante Fowler this year, he is, where is he at? Grading out of 71. So I wanted to look that up because, you know, oh my God, they miss Montez Sweat. Yeah, I mean, Montez Sweat's always nice to have. He's a good football player, but 2.5 sacks, that's what Fowler had like last week. Fowler grading out as a better player. So I think I just, you know, throwing that out there, that they're finding ways without the talent. And yeah, would they love to have someone stupid talented? Of course, but they're finding ways, especially as the year goes on and some of these guys get a little more used to playing with each other.
Number six, I was a little bit torn on this one, but we already talked about, you know, DJ Moore. We talked about Keenan Allen, some of their playmakers. The guy we haven't talked about is DeAndre Swift, and I'm thinking Jeremy Chinn's presence in the box is going to be instrumental for the defense. Again, DeAndre Swift, very dangerous out in space. And as long as, like, we limit him, we actually come up, we make the tackles. We've seen Jeremy Chinn miss tackles early in the season. And as of late, he's gotten into a groove. He's, you know, been more consistent of a tackler. But DeAndre Swift is still a serious threat. And if he's going to be in the box, we're going to have to be able to, you know, make shorthanded tackles. But also in coverage, I would think he's the guy. If not him, Quan, I'm not sure.
Well, I was going to say, so I think the two guys that I would highlight at the safety position are Chinn and Percy Butler.
Okay.
And that is because both their presence in the run game, like you said with Chinn, but also I think those are the guys that are on Cole Kmet, who is a really good weapon for Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great call, and I would add what Kmet brings. You had the stat earlier. What, he's got 26 catches on 29 targets,
yes.
Something like that?
Yes.
It's crazy. And for a rookie quarterback to have that safety blanket, like we see it here with Ertz, there's a real value to that. But Kmet's also a guy that can get up the field. Like, he can get vertical. Mm-hmm. He's got a little juice to him. And they find ways to, like, you know, hey, there's one play that Kmet had, I think, a touchdown on. If not, it was like a huge gain down to the five, where they faked a toss one way, faked a bubble back the other, and the defense is like, whoa, whoa. And then Kmet just leaks up the center of the field.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, that's so open. I think that's a good call. I would say I wish I had thought of this 5 seconds ago. If I could go back and replace number five, I'm gonna just make a note here for us on Monday, because your DeAndre Swift point made me think of this. Fedarian Mathis, I'm curious of his usage this week. I think he probably gets, if I was Joe Witt Jr., which I'm not, I'm starting him. I'm starting him next to Daron Payne, because with Fowler, like, Payne's got the great pass rush combo. They're starting to rush together really well.
Yep.
But against the run, they need someone who's just a bigger body who's hard to move. And I would rather have Newton have one of those guys in Sheldon Day when they're in. And I'd rather have Big Phil be with Daron and let him be a guy that can't be moved as easily, which makes the job easier for Luvu and Wagner and Chin, because the holes are not nearly as big to try to defend, which is where Chin got in trouble earlier in the season.
Yeah, so Phil was the other guy that I was thinking about. But my thing is, in my mind, I'm thinking you're not going to try to run at Phil Mathis. You know, they use Phil, they use Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, you can try to not run at him, but even then, like, everybody's involved in a run play.
True.
And, like, you, unless you were to just run away outside all the time, which invites its own, you know, struggles, because those plays are longer developing. There's a big risk of loss, typically, trying to get north and south as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a guy like Swift, who doesn't see the cutback lanes always so great.
Yeah.
Now, if he does and he hits it, like, he's a home run threat. But his vision's not amazing on that stuff. Just being able to hold a double team for longer and occupy two lets Wagner and Luvu run.
Yeah.
And Chin run, and some of these guys get there from the backside and cleaner angles. So, you know, it's hard. Yeah, you might not run straight at him, but that's fine as long as he's eating blocks, because that's the thing that killed this run defense earlier in the year, and I think it's gotten better the last couple of weeks. First with John in there, and then definitely last week when Phil was in there, it was even better. All right, when we get back, we got a lot more on this game with Dan Wiederer of Take the North. It is our Odyssey Sports Bears podcast. He also writes for the Chicago Tribune here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. If you're just joining us and haven't had a chance to check the news of the day, I want to let you know that Jaden Daniels did practice today for the Commanders. He's listed as questionable for the game on Sunday. Might know more tomorrow. Might be a game time decision. We talked about all of that with Nikki Javala at 5 o'clock. Definitely worth the rewind in the Odyssey app or check it out on the podcast if you missed it. Yesterday morning, had the chance to talk to a beat reporter for the Bears. He also happens to host our Bears podcast. Dan Wiederer, who is the host of Take the North and writes for the Chicago Tribune. And I did a crossover edition of Take Command and Take the North. And we talked quite a bit about the quarterback stuff, but wanted to pick up the conversation for you here on a Friday on the radio with one of the other big concerns that Dan, on the Bears side of it, has about this Commanders team.
You also have a running back there that I know has turned heads here in this building. As they've watched Brian Robinson Jr. here this week, they've said, man, like, this is a running game that is to be respected. And Brian Robinson Jr. obviously has a skill set that challenges you. And so what do you see from that lens in terms of his ability to be a major player in this particular matchup if indeed the quarterback is not able to play?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And so the first thing with their running game is extremely well designed. They have done a great job. One, Cliff was pretty good at it in Arizona. Like, Cliff's last year, I think it was in Arizona, James Conner had like 1,300 yards.
Okay.
He's always been a guy who is good with the run game. And specifically, it's interesting now. I've heard some national folks talk about this, and I thought it was a really astute point. How, because Cliff comes from the air raid system in college, where at Texas Tech, he's got four wide receivers on the field at all times. They're 165 pounds. Those dudes aren't blocking for anything. So how do I run the football with that personnel on the field? Well, sometimes we just have those guys get out of the way. Sometimes we create specific angles where I'm going to need you and your 165 pounds to run as hard as you can into that linebacker and crack him. And if you get in the way, you've done your job. And now he's taken some of those principles, some of that problem solving that he had to do in college, and he's got pro personnel, and he's doing it with, like, hey, let's take our third tight end, rookie Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State, who's an unbelievable blocker. Let's stick him in the slot, run that same thing, and now our pin-pull play is, like, hellish to deal with. So there's some design stuff. Also, Anthony Lynn is the run game coordinator, who obviously rose to head coach with the Chargers, so he's an excellent coach. Bobby Johnson has a background with Brian Daboll in Buffalo and New York, where some of the quarterback run stuff they did with Josh Allen and Daniel Jones, they've melded that in. Brian Johnson with what he did with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. So they have all these brains that can either go one of two ways. You can have what happened to the Carolina staff last year, where they had a bunch of really great names and Frank Reich can't put it all together. And you're like, oh my God, this is terrible. And Bryce Young is on pace to be one of the worst 1-1 overall busts in the history of the sport. Or they can come together in a cohesive way and you have what you have in Washington. So it's really well designed. Second part is, because of the quarterback run factor, which absolutely does not dissipate with Mariota. He may be not as explosive in the open field as Daniels, but Marcus will kill you with his legs if you let him. And he's very, very smart and good at making the correct decisions in the zone read game. Like, he will read it correctly at an extraordinarily high clip, and the RPO stuff behind it. So between the quarterback being able to keep and the potential for RPO, run pass option, you know, passes that can exploit certain run fits, there's just a lot to deal with as a defense. And so it's hard to ever be right in terms of your numbers and have the number of bodies you need. You need someone to make a play, which puts a ton of pressure on the defense. And they've run guard, you know, like these GT guard tackle power pull plays. They've run inside zone. They've run outside zone. They've run gap scheme stuff. They've run straight ahead duo play, like any kind of run, it's in. And they sequence them really well too, where we got you flowing this way on zone stuff, and then bam, here comes a trap or a wham back the other way. So it's just, if that sounds like a lot, that's kind of the point, I would say, for the audience to take away, is like, it's because they can do everything, and because on every play, every blade of grass is threatened, it's just really hard to be right as a defense. And then, to kind of more directly answer your question, Brian Robinson runs harder than hell. And so here's this 6'2", 235-pound guy who runs a 4.5, coming full steam ahead at your bad numbers. And, you know, that part is kind of simple in terms, he's got great vision, he's really powerful, all the good running back stuff, and that is within an unbelievably efficient system.
I don't want to say the Bears have struggled defending the run, because they're still a top 10 run defense, but they were number one in the NFL a year ago, and they've had some trouble this year limiting the explosive runs. Jonathan Taylor got loose, Tony Pollard got loose, Kyren Williams got loose a couple times, and so there is still that little bit of trepidation that they're going to allow one or two big ones to crack, and then all of a sudden you've had yourself a day that you didn't want to have. And so that will be a challenge for this group to, as you said, defend every blade of grass against this offense.
And on that front, Austin Eckler has been the big play guy. Like, B-Rob will just take a regular like GT pull 20 yards because it's blocked up well and he's hard to tackle and he's got good speed enough to run away from linebackers, and a safety will get him, you know, knock him out of bounds. Eckler's the guy who's gone 50, and he has looked like he did the, you know, early career Chargers, super explosive. And they also do a great job of getting like kind of game plan runs. They'll figure out what Chicago wants to do and they'll use that against him and sneak Austin Eckler somewhere and he'll have a big play. Like, he's been the guy for that. And I think the other thing too that I'd be curious, Dan, not to move totally off the Chicago defense and anything we want to talk about with Washington's defense we can, is Commander special teams has been outstanding this year as well. So like, that's just another thing I want to kind of note. Eckler's been awesome in the return game. They are hitting the mess out of people. Like, they put all five safeties on the roster on the field on kickoff return, and they race to the ball to see who can hit the returner as hard as they can. They've knocked a couple out this year. So just, you know, put that in your back pocket as well, for special teams that we should pay attention to on Sunday as well.
We've got special teams coordinator Richard Hightower speaking with us on Thursday. So that's
nice.
Good to note some things that Richard had some background in Washington once upon a time, and be interesting to ask him about that. The Bears have their own sort of special teams concerns this week, I would say. Scott Daly, their long snapper who came in at the start of the season to replace Patrick Scales, who had back surgery, hurt his knee in London. I'm sure you've seen tight end Cole Kmet had to be their emergency long snapper in that game and ended up winning NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, which is a bit of a gimmick.
As one does.
And Cole will take it. But Scott Daly is back at practice. You kind of got to monitor it. They do have a backup long snapper on their practice squad if things don't go well leading up to the game, where you can kind of promote that. The other part of this is the Bears' injuries in their secondary right now, which Quan Brisker still in concussion protocol, Tyreek Stevenson coming back off a calf injury, and Kyler Gordon dealing with a hamstring issue, then thrusts some of your core special teams guys into heightened roles on defense, you know? And so there's a handful of guys, Elijah Hicks, Jalen Jones, Josh Blackwell among them, that may have to juggle two things. And then you've got to play around in your special teams chess match and figuring out, okay, how much can we use them, if at all, on special teams if they're needed on defense. That's another little X factor against, as you say, a pretty good special teams unit from the Commanders.
So what's your ultimate key to the game? Because for me, this is a take command special. Logan and I spend an undue amount of time talking about game flow. and just like, can you keep the game where you want it? If Chicago can somehow jump out early to a lead and Marcus has to drop back, assuming that he's playing, like that's bad news for the Commanders. I think if the Commanders can keep this in a positive game flow where the game is close, they can continue to run the football, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, I think they can compete with a Bears team that I think is very good. I think I'd definitely pick Washington if Jaden was playing. With Marcus, it becomes a little hairier. I'll be a homer and take Washington just to represent my side of the screen here. But I do think that there is a distinct way in which this game becomes really difficult for Washington if Chicago can jump out early. For you, what's that kind of key thing that you think is a matchup or a way the game could be played, something that will determine the outcome more than anything else?
I'll give you a couple numbers that fit into what you're leaning toward right now. Number one, the Bears heading into Monday were 30th in the NFL in first quarter points scored. They have only scored one touchdown in the first quarter, 10 total points. Only the Eagles and Rams were worse. I was stunned to see that the Eagles have yet to score in the first quarter. That's like mind-blowing this deep into a season. So that fast start that you're talking about, they haven't gotten off to a fast start this year. It's usually been middle of the second quarter on when they found their flow, and so that's something that they're going to have to do. Matt Eberflus's teams in his three seasons here, 3-16 on the road, so it's another concern. They haven't been able to consistently win on the road, and they've lost a few games where they've had commanding leads and blown them. And so you want to see this team with heightened talent and a greater belief about itself go in and handle its business in these games. This is one of those games where many a year past, I would have said, no way I'm picking the Bears because you just can't trust them. There's something about this team I really trust. There's a leadership in the locker room that keeps things steady in game and in weeks when there is adversity that hits, and they just seem to have a belief that they're climbing the staircase. And so I don't have to file my official pick until late Thursday evening for the newspaper and the podcast. Right now I'm leaning towards picking the Bears because I just think there's something about this group right now that believes that they deserve to win this game and they're going to go handle their business.
And that's the thing. That is a mirror statement here in D.C. There's a professionalism. And obviously, you know, with all the ownership changes and everything here, it's been such a dramatic change in the organization itself. But there is a professionalism about this group that is really fun to watch and really fun to cover. And it should be a good one on Sunday. I presume you'll be making the trip, Dan, and get to see you in the press box.
Saturday night flight. I'll be out there. And nice. I kind of like the 3 o'clock or I guess 4 o'clock start out there. Allows you to ease into your Sunday a little bit. And then,
a little bit.
I'll be in that press box. I guess it's Northwest Stadium now. That's what
Northwest Stadium. I like the Fed as a nickname.
Okay.
Northwest Federal Credit Union.
Because I can't get used to writing Northwest Stadium. It doesn't sound like a professional sports stadium.
No, there's nothing north or west about it either. It's very silly outside of the fact that it's named for a credit union with, you know, whatever that version of Cardinal Direction is, Northwest. That's not what that Cardinals Northwest. Anyway, nobody cares. Dan Weider, everybody.
All right. Appreciate Dan. If you want the rest of our conversation, check out the Take Command feed. And of course, if you want Logan and I's preview of the game, that is also in the Take Command feed. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. When we get back, one, we'll pick the game. Two, Anthony gets his revenge. It's my turn to play who he play for as we wrap up with real things next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, wrapping up here on this Friday. Of course, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, where you see now a dancing Anthony Haney to the Rebecca Black Classic that ends our show every week. Anthony, Commanders, Bears, it's time. Are we going to make conditional picks? Do you need to make a conditional pick, depending on with Jaden playing or not?
I don't think conditional picks should be allowed.
I think they should be allowed. I think the point is to be right. And if the analysis is sharper, because it's like, hey, if the quarterback plays or not, it's not like we're waiting on a, I don't want to be disrespectful. It's not like we're waiting on a punter, all due respect to Truss. We're waiting on the quarterback status.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of who that quarterback
is. I'm picking the same team either way.
Yeah.
So.
Me too. I think I'm going to go with the Commanders.
I am also going with the Commanders.
Yeah.
I think this matchup actually has a couple of key spots. Now, the one area that scares me is like the outside, and there's a chance that Caleb just can get the ball in DJ Moore's hands and Keenan Allen's hands, and there is no resistance, and things go very, very badly. I kind of think they'll have a plan for that. I don't think Chicago's going to be able to run the mess out of the football. I do think Washington's going to run the mess out of the football. I think Washington becomes the first team to put up 21 on this Bears team in 12 games, and I think they win 24-21. If Caleb's in, or if Jaden's in, it's like 27-21.
I think with Jaden in, I think we go out there and win 28-17. That's my score prediction. And if he isn't in, it'll probably be a little close, maybe like 24-17. But I'm with you. I think we're going to dominate the ground, rushing with B-Rob, Austin Eckler. Might even get a Jeremy McNichols appearance.
Hey, he's rushed well. I'd get him a couple carries. But let him run over someone.
I think it's going to be solid. And I think Terry might surprise a couple of people. I think Terry gets in the box against Jalen Johnson.
Oh, okay. That's a bold prediction. Yeah. Jalen's a really good player.
He is.
All
he's
right.
Nasty.
Those are our picks. Read it, weep, and we'll see how we did on Monday. Of course, don't forget, Take Command postgame show will be live from Northwest Stadium about an hour after the final whistle on Sunday. As soon as the postgame pressers are over, we get back upstairs. Logan and I will be live on YouTube at the Team 980, so check us out there. Yesterday, I sprung a game of who he played for on Anthony. Charles Barkley played the real version last night, and so it is time for Real Things and Anthony's Revenge to close out the show.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right. It is an institution that hopefully will find a way to live on beyond this year. Imitation is the highest form of flattery. We imitated it yesterday. Today, we're just going to play along the annual quizzing of Charles Barkley on players who went to new teams. Who he played for, I'm going to play along. Anthony, roll tape.
Our first player is veteran Taj
back in the league.
Gibson.
I got this one. I got this one. You know why I got this one, Anthony?
Because you gave it to me yesterday.
That is correct. Taj Gibson's playing for the Charlotte Hornets. Yeah!
Gosh.
How did Chuck do?
Oh, Chuck did. Let's see.
Back in the league. Gibson.
You had to read when he re-signed. He had a whole big quote about
Gibson.
Who's
he
back.
Play for?
The New Jersey Nets.
Oh. He said the New Jersey Nets. There's not even a team anymore.
He's so bad. He's
really next
bad.
One. Keep going. Keep rolling.
If I wanted to get it right, I would have said the Charlotte Hornets.
Why in the world would I want the Charlotte Hornets play basketball?
Okay.
LaMelo played great last night.
He's 0-1 after vowing to get 2 out of 5.
Taylor, come on.
Kalen Horton Tucker,
the Utah.
Did you hear that?
No, I missed it. I was dancing to the music, to be honest.
Kalen Horton Tucker.
Oh, of Laker fame. I'm going to guess Charles didn't get it right, and he said Utah. Talen Horton Tucker, I'm going to go. Is he now with the Indiana Pacers?
He did it one point, but
a couple years ago.
He's now a Chicago Bull.
He is a Chicago Bull, Craig.
Okay. Gets his games called by my pal Adam Lee.
He does. Not to watch the Bulls. Well, you can go out with Talen Horton Tucker. So, player number
three in a row.
Patty Mills.
From Australia. He just
Patty Mills. Oh, we did this one yesterday.
Yep.
I think he's with the Kings.
Australia.
Wait, I'm going to give you a hint. He did a thing because
he's with Utah. He's with Utah.
His culture is very similar to a culture in that city.
Because I did the whole Dante Exum thing.
Patty Mills.
Spurs.
Patty Mills. The Jazz.
You know they helped him out yesterday? They helped him out.
You got that one right.
Was it because someone was definitely in his ear.
No,
they paused the camera on the Jazz. Like they stopped it and then they tried to start it again. He saw it. So
good job, Chuck.
You smart.
One more America. Let's have player number four. Player number four is Doug McDermott.
He's with the Kings because we did this one yesterday too.
He is. I doubt you get the last one though, Craig.
Probably not.
You're doing good though. You're doing really good.
Helps when you got the answers yesterday on accident.
He didn't play.
Gosh, he's so
good.
Yep.
He didn't play.
Dude, he just signed. They were just saying on the TV, they were like, we didn't sign Doug McDermott.
He just played 5 minutes.
Yeah, they were like,
did he play 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Now.
I wasn't watching that game.
This is for your low standard of two correct.
Garrett Temple still in the league. Yeah.
Garrett Temple, correct.
This is also cheating because the cover photo on Instagram where I did not watch the video because I was like, I don't want to cheat.
I'm going to tell you right now, it is not right.
Okay, so it's not the Nets.
No.
Okay. Well, in that case.
Wow.
Garrett Temple still in the league is actually the correct answer.
He is in the league.
Is he with the Houston Rockets?
Who he played for, Hall of Famer.
Who does he play for, Chuckster?
The Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, again.
Still plays for the Toronto Raptors.
He plays with the Raptors,
Craig. Why would I watch the Toronto Raptors? Because Toronto's one of your favorite cities.
It is my favorite city.
Well, okay. I did great because apparently
you
they
cheated.
Used the same list that I used yesterday to quiz Anthony. Sorry, Anthony, that wasn't the revenge you were probably hoping for. Alas. Hopefully, we'll see you Monday on a Victory Monday. But until then, enjoy your weekend, everybody.